Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
On a phone line is a friend of ours, Jane Kirtley. Jane is a professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota. Hi, Jane. It's John Williams. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm terrific.
Good to hear your voice. The White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, among others in the administration, are talking about trying to get the laws changed in this country so that libel and slander will be easier to prosecute. What is a libel law? How does that work in this country?
Well, one of the things that I think is a little confusing to people is when they talk about changing the libel law. The reality is that libel statutes vary from state to state. There is no single libel law. What we have, though, are a series of U.S. Supreme Court decisions which have determined how much the First Amendment protects false and defamatory speech, which is the definition of libel. That is, untrue statements about someone that are made with some kind of fault and which harm their reputation. Under New York Times versus Sullivan and a bunch of cases since then, since 1964, the Supreme Court has said that public officials and public figures, if they want to sue for libel, have to be able to show that the statement was made either with reckless disregard for whether it was true or false, or with knowledge that it was not true. And one of the things that Justice Brennan, who wrote the opinion, said is that it's really important to protect people who criticize the government, whether it's the press or just ordinary citizens, especially because that's the way we debate things, of course, but also because public officials who are carrying out their official duties enjoy immunity from libel suits themselves. So what Justice Brennan says is we really need to level the playing field here so that people aren't afraid of criticizing those who are in office, even if they might make a mistake in good faith along the way.
Is the interpretation of that pretty liberal in this country? Do we have more freedom than other nations?
By a long shot. As somebody who's worked all over the world, I can tell you that there is no other country, not even Canada, not even the United Kingdom, that have anywhere near the degree of protection that we have in this
country. Do you think our laws are too liberal that way?
I do not. Now, obviously, people can disagree about that. I remember years ago being on the old CNN show Frontline and debating with John Sununu this very issue. I mean, his position was that public officials or those who seek political office basically are being dealt an unfair hand here, and that we ought to have a way to make it easier for them to sue. I simply disagree with that. Somebody like Donald Trump, members of Congress, anybody else in public office, has many powerful tools available to them to take on those who they think are publishing falsehoods about them. So to me, we've got the balance right.
So is it maybe less about the action or intent of the media and more about how level the playing field is, how able those aggrieved are able to settle the score or repair their image?
It's both, actually. I mean, if you go back and read Justice Brennan's opinion, he talks about both things. But I think for him, the heart and soul of it is that in our society, the way we make policy decisions and so forth is through political debate. And if people are afraid to make a point because they might make a mistake along the way, and again, I'm talking about in good faith. I'm not talking about manufacturing falsehoods. But they might make a mistake and they don't want to take a chance on it because somebody could sue them for millions of dollars. That means that ultimately we aren't engaging in the kind of debate and discussion that's been part of this country since its inception.
Hmm. Well, but how do you know the difference between reckless disregard or that they knew it wasn't true but they wanted to hurt that politician? I mean, that would be a case then for libel. How do you know if that's what happened or it was an honest mistake? And particularly since the media has been so super critical of this president, maybe they have crossed that line a few times.
Well, I think we have to draw a distinction between saying things that are critical about somebody in office, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else, and, you know, saying something that is deliberately false or correcting the record if you believe that that public figure is saying something that's not true. truth and falsity per se are not what our libel laws are about. They're not. We don't have a ministry of truth in this country that decides whether the press or the president is telling the truth. The issue is whether you're harming somebody's reputation by saying something that is not true. And you're right that it's not always going to be easy to determine, and there have been hundreds if not thousands of court cases since New York Times where juries have had to try to figure out what the intent was that the journalist had or the speaker had, and whether their goal was just to damage or to try to enlighten or include debate or whatever.
Well, Jane, if all of that is true, then Donald Trump is, then it would be impossible for him to ever win a case. He has the largest platform. He's expert at Twitter. He's expert at the rallies. Nothing the media has said has seemed to harm his reputation, certainly not with his base.
That's true. And you just said it would be impossible for him to sue, and I would say that's exactly the way it should be.
But what if he were a more sympathetic character? What if you liked him? What if I liked him? I mean, I think we should think about the principle and not the person here.
Well, I've thought about this back when so many people were saying awful things about our former president, President Obama. There was a lot of really nasty statements that were being made by his political opponents, and I would include in that group Donald Trump. I didn't think at that time that President Obama should be bringing libel suits against them. I didn't think Bill Clinton should be bringing libel suits against people that were criticizing them. I mean, ultimately, when you think back to the origins of this case, which 1964, in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement, what the Supreme Court was really worrying about was stifling dissent, people that were rocking the boat, raising questions at that point about the whole Civil Rights Movement. Given where we are in a society that is so divided today, to suggest that you could not engage in that kind of debate is really frightening to me. I saw a comment on one of the stories today where a reader simply said, "What's next? A crime of insulting the president?" Again, prohibited, I think, by the Supreme Court under its interpretation of the First Amendment, but very common in many countries, which are led by people who President Trump apparently admires. I think you have to take, you know, a firm stance here. I can't see any justification for the most powerful man in the world being able to sue news organizations.
Well, I think your point is well put when you remind us that if Barack Obama didn't have grounds to sue Donald Trump for defamation, for libel, when he was saying that he was a Muslim or not a U.S. citizen. I mean, good Lord, wasn't that a reckless disregard for the truth? Wasn't that done to harm President Obama? But Obama had a pretty big stage, and he seemed to survive that. If Barack Obama couldn't sue Donald Trump, then who in the world can Donald Trump sue? Because that, to me, was a classic. I mean, that would be the very definition of what we're trying to talk about here. Just a quick call for our guest, Jane Kirtley. She is the media ethics professor at the University of Minnesota. If you've ever heard of the Silla Center there, that's Jane. Chris, what did you want to say? You're on the air. Hi.
Well, I've been listening to Jane, and I can't agree more with everything that she's saying. The call was more towards wanted to share my sentiments of what the heck our president was even doing having a rally where there was neo-Nazis present criticizing our own media.
I didn't see the neo-Nazis that were there, but he sure did. Boy, here again, talking about a big enough stage to settle any scores, he sure told the world how unfair and inaccurate, and his words now, disgusting, the media is. You know, there really was, though, but that call and chant that he gets the audience engaged in is, I'll just say it, a little terrifying. I mean, what the hell is that all about?
It's really chilling. And you know, at the heart of it is his statement from several weeks ago when he called the press the enemy of the people. If that is not profoundly disturbing, I don't know what is.
I'll talk to you again, Jane. Just wanted to touch bases. I kind of thought you'd think like this, but I know you're very passionate and informed, and I really appreciate your time and expertise.
John, thanks for reaching out.
Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota. Interesting point, Chris. Thanks for the call.